Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I hope you have paper and pencil. You know, I often tell people, if I'd gone to Texas A&M like most people go to church, I never would have graduated. Because you have to go in and listen to lectures and walk in there 6 weeks later and take a test. And if you hadn't taken some notes and done some studying, you didn't have a chance to pass. And one of the things, you know, Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So you don't want to, when God says something to you, and especially the verses, you don't want to let them slip. And James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's something that can be very deceiving about listening. Listening does not change you. I tell you, I don't know about the church you go to, but probably there are people there Sunday and they're no different than they were 100 sermons ago. So listening doesn't change you. It's only as you hear and do something about what you've heard. You know, I want to commend you for being here tonight. And if there's ever a time in which you need a close walk with the Lord, it's right now. Because the next few years, some of the most important decisions of your life are going to be coming your way. Billy Graham said on one occasion, you will probably make 75% of the major decisions of your life by the time you're 25 years of age. And you will decide where you're going to school. You'll decide what you're going to study. And I don't know if 25 is necessarily the limit, but in the next few years, you'll be deciding where you're going to work, what you're going to do with your life, who you're going to marry, and if you're going to really walk with God and give your life to making disciples. Now is the time to get down to business with the Lord. You will never have a better time than you have right now. And you have more time than you'll ever have. And some people say, oh, you don't know how busy I am. And I know, you know, some of you go to class in the morning and you get out of class at noon and then you don't pick up a book till about 8 or 9 that night. And then you go home and tell your mom, oh, Mom, I had to study till 1 or 2 in the morning. I mean, it's so terrible. Well, now's the time to begin to get some discipline in your life. And let me share this with you to start with. There's a vast difference between discipline and legalism. And you know, usually when we begin to talk about the Christian life and about becoming disciplined and learning to walk with God, somebody hollers, oh, legalism. You know, at OU they take their football pretty seriously. And I have never heard anybody call Bob Stoops a legalist. And yet, when Sam Bradford was quarterback there, and he couldn't come in on Tuesday and say, well, Coach, you know, I really had a hard time yesterday. I just don't think I can make it to practice today. He wouldn't put up with that. And yet, in the Christian life, usually we find very little discipline. And you're not going to walk with God unless you begin to build some discipline into your life. And so I want to challenge you, now while you're in college, give your 20s to training. This is a time in life in which you build the foundation that's going to last you for the rest of your life. You know, I have the privilege sometime now of teaching at a seminary. And you know, one of the problems we find there is there are a lot of hollow men. And the reason for that is they come into seminary and they're talking about strategy and church planning and all of these things, and yet they've never built the basics into their life. Many of those people have never learned to have a quiet time, never learned to memorize verses, never learned to witness, never learned to disciple people. And they get out in life, and then when hard times come in their 30s and 40s and 50s, they crumble because they do not have the bone structure they need. And now is the time to begin to do that. And I want to back up and just share with you a little bit of my testimony. And I want to do this, and I want you to know, first of all, I clearly understand who I am. And Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can you unless you abide in me. And in 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. In verse 29, he tells us why. So no flesh should glory in his presence. And Isaiah 42:8 says, I will not give my glory to another. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And in Luke 17:10, it said, when you've done all those things which are commanded, you say, we're unprofitable servants. We've only done what was our duty to do. So there's no way ever for any of us to ever stand in the presence of God and say, look at me because of what a great person I am. It's only as a result of what God has done in our life. When I came away to college, I went to Texas A&M. I was 1,500 miles from home. I didn't have a car. I didn't have money. And so the very first week I was there, a guy came by. And they said to the freshmen, if you're a Baptist, you go this way. If you're a Methodist, you go this way. Catholic, go this way. And so I was a Baptist, and they took us over to the Baptist Student Union, and some students shared their testimonies like you've heard here tonight. And I thought, you know, I really like that. I think I'd like to go back over there. Well, the very first day of class, an upperclassman knocked on my door and asked me to go. Now, my roommate was there and another fella, and I said, hey, guys, why don't we go over to that meeting tonight? And they said, oh, no, we've got to study. And so I went over there, and, you know, God really spoke to me, and I can remember walking back. I'd planned to go into veterinary medicine. I said, now, God, if I cannot give the time I need to my own walk with God here and get in veterinary medical school, then maybe that's not where you'd want me. So I made a decision that night. I am going to try to put God first in my life. And I came back to my room, and there was my roommate and this other buddy, and they hadn't studied at all. They were still just talking. And you know, I learned something that night. You have time to do what you really want to do. And so I just made a decision when it comes time. And one of the things I would highly encourage you to do tonight, you're here because of the Navigator Ministries on your campus. You tie in with that ministry. You stay close to that ministry. And if you will stay tied in with those people, you make their meetings, you make their retreats, you make the Bible studies, you meet with people. I mean, you're going to turn out to be some fantastic people. But you're going to have to make some choices. Because when you go away to the retreat and you go back on Monday, you may have this very same exam that somebody else has who had got to stay there all weekend. And you came and you put God first. And so I remember beginning to make some decisions. I thought, I'll be in church on Sunday. And by the way, I'd say this to you. You don't have any better place to be on Sunday. And don't make that decision every Saturday night. I know some college students, they make a decision every Saturday night if they're going to get up and go to church. And so you come in late and then you're trying to decide, am I or am I not? I just made that decision once and for all. That's where I'm going to be on Sunday morning. And when the BSU was meeting, I decided that's where I'd be. I remember one time I missed a retreat because I had a chemistry exam on Monday. And I thought I needed to do well on that, so I didn't go on a retreat. I was miserable all weekend, felt bad, didn't do well on a test, and I decided, you know, I should have gone on that retreat. And you know, you have time to study. And we had a group of guys on our campus, and I learned this from Dave Dawson. When Dave Dawson started to college, he didn't do well, he dropped out, and he was trained by the Navigators for 4 years. When he came back to college, he said, I want to be as diligent as any layman. And a layman has to work from 8 to 5, and so he said, I just decided every day I would study from 8 to 5. And so he said, if I didn't have a class at 8 o'clock in the morning, I walked through the doors of the library. And I studied and found time to go to class. And then if I had an hour off, I went back to the library, said I studied every day. I hit it hard every day. I studied 8 hours a day. That's more than most college students study. He said, I had every evening and every night to give to ministry. And he started doing that. Led a young guy to the Lord, wasn't doing well, put him on the same schedule, and he began to make very good grades. At one time for our BCM, we had a number of the students, and that's what they did. From 8 to 5 every day, they decided they had a place in the library. They'd go to class, they'd come back, and then they'd study. And they had plenty of time to give at night to ministry. And so I began to make some decisions early. I remember one night going to the meeting, and One of the guys was standing up and talking about how that summer they'd gone around to some of the churches to speak and lead revival meetings. And I walked up to him afterward. And at that time, there were between 5,000 and 6,000 students at A&M. And I said, you know, it's amazing to me. You go out and speak to these little churches, and yet there are over 5,000 students here, and many of them don't know the Lord. And what are we doing about that? And so I decided I wanted to witness. And I had a little New Testament, a Sunday school teacher had given me when I was a little boy, and I took it with me to college. And one night I was praying. I said, Lord, I would really want to be the man you want me to be. And I tell you what, God, when I get out of here and I get my veterinary hospital, I'm going to try to make enough money to personally send a missionary. And I thought God was going to be so excited about that. And I could just sense that night he really wasn't. And I continued to pray, God, I really want to be the man you want me to be. And God began to impress on me, I want you to be a witness here on this campus now. And I knew, and that's one thing you begin to learn, when God speaks to you, you need to be obedient. And so I picked up my little New Testament. I didn't know how to witness, but I knew I wanted to. So I started down the hall, and I saw a door open. We didn't have air conditioning. The guys leave their door open, and a fellow sitting at his desk studying. I looked at him for a moment. And I walked on down the hall. I was scared to death to witness. So I walked on down the hall and I read the bulletin board. And I prayed some more and I walked by and looked at him again and went to the other end of the hall and I got a drink. And then I read the bulletin board. And I got a drink and I read the bulletin board and I got a drink. I don't know how many times I walked up and down the hall before I could finally just muster up the courage to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm an Aggie like you are. I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. And I began to witness. I didn't have anybody to teach me. I just went out and started. And one night the boy lived next door to me came to the BCM with us and he came in and he said, you know, Max, I've never led anybody to the Lord. And I said, you haven't? Kind of like I was an old pro at it or something. And I said, do you really want to? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, I do too. So why don't we go witness every night? Now let's study. We'll quit at 10 and then let's go witness. And we'll witness every night till somebody becomes a Christian. And let's start tonight. He said, oh, I got a paper due tomorrow. And I said, well, I got a test. It won't take long. I mean, the dorms are full of lost people. So let's go. So we started going and witnessing and talking to the guys. And he drove a laundry truck to the military base out nearby and worked. And so we began to witness. And it wasn't long till we saw somebody come to know the Lord. And then we saw another one come to know the Lord. And then he drove that truck back and forth and he'd pick up soldier boys hiking into town. And he came in that year and told me of 17 guys that he had prayed with to accept the Lord. And I began to try to help those guys to grow. I'd never heard a follow-up. I'd never heard the word, didn't know about the navigators. But I just wanted to know. And one day the guy next to me said, you ever heard of the navigators? And I said, no. He said, they're a good group of guys. And that's all I knew. They were a good group of guys. So I began to try to witness. And we began to witness. And God began to do a great work. And we saw an average through the students there in our little group. Saw an average of 2 people a week accept the Lord for a year and a half. And we began to get invitations to go to other campuses and try to teach people how to witness. So we prayed and felt like 2 students ought to drop out of school for a year. And so the whole group came together. We prayed. It felt like my roommate and I ought to drop out for a year. A man in Houston brought us a used car and we headed out. We'd go to a campus. We're usually there anywhere from, and usually about 3 or 4 or 5 days. And we'd speak to the students, talk to them about witnessing, say, if you want to witness, we'll take you. And we'd go out and visit on the campuses. And we saw a number of students. Students go out and we'd witness to their friends and they'd see some of their friends come to know the Lord and they'd really begin to grow. Well, God began to do a tremendous work as we began to do this. God's working in our lives and students began to share their faith. I remember one time we were in Richmond, Virginia. We got a call. I had the flu that week, so my roommate was taking most of the speaking engagements. And we got a call to go to Moorhead, Kentucky. And the girl there had just graduated the year before and she stayed on to be the BCM director. And she said, I just feel like God wants to do something on our campus. I've heard of what you guys have done. Would you come? My roommate took the call and he said, well, we can't. We've got to go to another campus. And Max is sick. So anyway, that week I stayed in bed and tried any time I was awake to pray. And I felt like I should go to that campus. And so my roommate and I decided to break up. And I went to that campus. And I got there and met with the students on Friday night. And there were just a little handful of students, most of them young Christians. And I began to talk to them about witnessing. And they were scared to death to witness. Now, like many of you, if the honest truth was, I said, you know, I was just over here in McDonald's this afternoon. There's somebody your own age and your own sex. And they're there. They're waiting for somebody to come through tonight at midnight to pick them up. And why don't you go over and witness to them? The rest of us will stay here and pray. Now, had you rather be in the group that stayed to pray? Or had you rather be the one to go to witness? Well, probably a lot of you, if you're honest, you'd rather stay here and pray. And I got a sneaking suspicion it's not because you all love to pray all that much, but you're probably afraid to witness. And the only way I know to overcome that is you pray for boldness, as they did in Acts 4:29. Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servant that we may speak thy word with all boldness. And you find two verses later, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so I decided to go to that campus. I spoke to those students. Next day was Sunday. We didn't have anything other than church and we were meeting back Monday night. Now finals were to start Wednesday morning on this campus. And so they brought some of their friends and we talked to them about witnessing and I could tell they were still afraid. I said, well, here's what you do. It was a state campus. I said, you go ahead of me to one of the men's dorms. There were two men's dorms, two women's dorms on that campus. And you go and knock on all the doors and invite the guys to come down to the lobby. And I'll come in and share a testimony and kind of present the gospel. And you can see the ones that are interested and you can follow them to the rooms and talk to them. I thought that'd kind of break the ice for them. And so I go over there that night at 10 o'clock and I could not believe what I saw. I mean, students all over the place. The place was jammed. Now, this was Monday night, final starting Wednesday morning. So I said to one of the students, did you tell them the nature of this meeting? And they said, no, we just knocked on all the doors and said, come down to the lobby for a meeting. Well, they thought the dorm master had called a meeting. It was required attendance because if you didn't check out right, you didn't get your grades. And so they all came. And I thought, well, I don't believe God has to use deceptive means. So I turned around. I said to the guys, if you're deceived and the reason you're here, you can leave right now and it will not hurt my feelings. Because I didn't intend for you to come not knowing the nature of the meeting. But let me tell you something. Before you leave, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, if you stay for the next 20 minutes, how Jesus Christ changed my life and how he can change yours. And before you leave, I want to tell you this. If Jesus doesn't change your life, you're going to mess up your life. And someday you're going to marry a girl and mess up her life. And you're going to have a kid and mess up their lives. So if you want to leave, leave. But that's what we're going to talk about. Nobody moved. And so for the next 20 minutes, I presented the gospel as clearly as I knew how. And I said, now, if you're not interested in becoming a Christian, would you please leave so that we can talk with those that are? And they just sat there. I said, if you're not interested, would you please feel free to leave? And they wouldn't move. I said, well, let me go over this again. And so I went through the gospel again as clearly as I knew how. And then I invited them, those that weren't interested, didn't want to talk further about it, to please leave. Nobody left. And I finally said, guys, you can sit here all night if you want to. I will not cheapen the gospel to get any one of you to say you'd become a Christian. Because as I understand it, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, he will come in. But he's going to work on you the rest of your life to try to get you to be the person you ought to be. And so, after a period of time, I took the Bible, laid it down on the floor. Romans 10:13 said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, that whosoever means you, come put your, if you want to become a Christian, you come put your finger on that verse and claim that and ask Jesus to come in. And they started coming and they started kneeling around the Bible and reaching over each other's shoulder. Pretty soon you couldn't even get close to the Bible. I'd never seen the Spirit of God work like that. And so I don't know how many people became Christian. The next day is all over the campus what had happened. I was leading my little witnessing clinic. They're bringing in chairs, pastors. It's all over town what had happened. And I said to one of the girls that afternoon, I said, see if I can speak in a girl's dorm tonight. She said, you don't know our dorm mother. There's no way you'd ever speak in that dorm. I said, well, you go ask her. The Spirit of God is at work. And so she did and said, we'd be glad to have him come speak. So I led my little witnessing clinic. I go to the girls' dorm. They'd invite the girls from the other dorm to come over. Now, finally starting the next morning, and I mean girls all over the place. And Aggie had never seen anything like that in his life. And so I began to share my testimony. One girl began to cry. Then another girl and another girl. And I didn't want it to be some kind of emotional meeting. And so I tried to speak very slowly, very deliberately. And I finally said, now, if you are interested in talking further about becoming a Christian, I want you to leave the dorm. I want you to go out. They had to go down the steps, underneath the steps, down the hall. And there's a room down there where the BSU director had her little meeting, had her office. And so girls started going out. I thought a lot of them would go back to the dorm. They started turning the hall, going down the hall. And what I'd wanted to happen in the first place was to break the ice for the Christian. So you'd see a little huddle here. Here's a Christian. She'd have a group of girls, another Christian, have a group of girls. And so I began to talk to some of the girls, and then I look at my wife and say, oh, no, I'm late. I'm supposed to speak at the other men's dorm. So I walk in there that night, same thing, people all over the place. It was a lounge area, and I thought there were chairs around, guys standing around the wall, and there's one chair vacant in the front. And I thought it was kind of strange that out of all of that, there's one chair vacant. And as I'm speaking, a guy comes through the doorway behind me, walks right beside me and kind of stares at me, and just stands there for a moment, and then he walks over and sits down in that chair. And he's there a few minutes, and after a while I pause, I've said everything I know to say. He stands up and he said, listen, I'm an atheist. And he said, until tonight, I didn't even believe there was a God. He said, I got here just a little late. I want to know, what do you have to do to become a Christian? And I said, sir, anytime, anywhere, you're willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, and as best you know how to turn your life over to him, he will come in. He said, man, I'd do anything. And so I said, well, why don't you and I just kneel to pray? And we prayed, and he stood up. I said, what happened? And he said, man, I feel like somebody took a weight off my back. I said, well, great, but I want to ask you something. Did you ask Jesus to come into your life? He said, yes, I did. I said, did you mean it? He said, yes, I did. I said, well, what happened? He said, man, I feel great. I said, that's great, but I want to ask you something. Did you ask Jesus to come in? Yes. Did you mean it? Yes. Then what happened? He said, he came in. And that's what I wanted him to see, not stand on his feeling. So he stood around, and I noticed a guy on his knees, kneeling, and it was one of the coaches, happened to be the golf coach. So this guy that just becomes a Christian turns around and says, guys, you all know what a dorm clown I've been. But I'm not clowning tonight. Why don't you come give your life to Jesus? And guys started coming and praying. I'd never seen God work like that. Now someone told me the next day about this boy. A week before, he had gone around and knocked on all the doors, invited the guys down to the lobby, and that had a mock religious service. And as somebody said, this atheist had stood up on the top of the piano and had mocked Jesus Christ. Now, he had gone home that weekend. He didn't know what had happened. When he walked in that night and saw all those guys there, he thought, who's stealing my bag of tricks? And he hadn't been there but just a few minutes until God got a hold of his heart. God did a tremendous work on that campus. I left there, and not all schools end at the same time, and I went to another school. That was in Moorhead, Kentucky. I went to Tennessee Tech. I met with a group of guys, and I'd taken them out to witness. And the last night I'm there, we meet over in the house where some of the boys were living, and we met till 3 o'clock in the morning. I was supposed to catch a bus at 5 o'clock to go to Ridgecrest, North Carolina for a big student meeting. And so we met with those guys till 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, now guys, you may be interested in walking with God while I'm here, but if you don't get in the Word, you're not going to make it. If you don't begin to spend time daily reading the Bible and praying, if you don't begin to memorize verses, you won't make it. And I said, now guys, I know I've got to work this summer. I know you do. So why don't we just move somewhere? We'll rent a house. We'll work during the day, and at night we'll come in, we'll read the Bible, we'll pray, we'll memorize verses. I'll teach you everything I know about the Lord. It may not be much more than you know, but I'll teach you everything I know. So we talked about that at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wrote some letters. I knew if I laid down, I'd never catch that bus. Went to Ridgecrest, and when I was there, there's a man that I knew said, you know, there's a guy here from the Billy Graham team. His name's Waylon Moore. Said he worked with the Billy Graham team and said he's going to be speaking to some of my students this afternoon. Would you like to come? And I said, sure. So I went over to the apartment. There were five or six students there. And he began to tell us about Dawson Trotman. He said Dawson Trotman, the man who started the Navigator, started the Billy Graham follow-up team, was a guy and said he would have guys live with him. And said they'd work during the day and at night they'd read the Bible and memorize verses and pray, and he'd teach them everything he knew about God. I could not believe what I was hearing. It was just like somebody had a tape recorder back in that room that night. So all of a sudden, what I'd been trying to do and what God had been showing me and I'd been stumbling around to do, because I'd met with guys. When guys had come to know the Lord at A&M, I tried to meet with a lot of them. I was trying to help them. And all of a sudden, it just became very, very clear to me what I needed to do. I had breakfast with Waylon Moore the next morning and went back to Texas A&M knowing, God, I know what I need to do the rest of my life. I want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. I want to build them up in the faith. I want them to come to the point where they can reproduce in the lives of others. So I came back with that in mind, finished school, knowing this is what I need to give my life to. You know, I love what old John Crawford said, and just recently went to be with the Lord, talking about when he was talking to Dawson Trotman one time after he got out of the military, and many of you have heard this story probably, and he said, Dawson was asking him what he wanted to do, and he said, well, Dawson, I've thought about being a pastor. And Dawson said, well, I think that's good. And talked on a little while, and he said, well, you know, I've also thought about being a youth director. And Dawson said, well, you know, John, if you could train a man, maybe he could be a pastor and you could be a youth director. And he said, we talked on a while, and he said, well, you know, Dawson, I've also thought about being a missionary. He said, well, if you could train another man, you could be a missionary, and this guy, one could be a youth director and one could be a pastor. And then he said to John, he said, John, until you figure out what you want to do in life, why don't you just give your life to making disciples? And John's up in his 80s, and he just kind of, he said, I never figured out what I wanted to do in life, so I just gave my whole life to making disciples. Now, I know many of you are at a point now in life, as you're in college, and you're beginning to think, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Well, let me say this first of all. God intends for every believer to be a disciple maker. Okay? It's not just for the chosen. It's not just for a few. It's not for the full-time navigators. When Jesus said, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, Jesus said, you go into all the world and you make disciples, you baptize them. Now notice, you teach them to obey all that I've said to you. Now what did he just finish saying to them? Make disciples. So we're supposed to take the new convert every time a person becomes a Christian. We need to help that young person, and we need to start immediately helping him become a disciple maker. I think sometimes we wait too long, because here's what happens. A person becomes a Christian and we have him meeting at church or meeting with a group, and we work with him 2 or 3 years, and then we try to get him out witnessing. Well, meantime, he already lives in a Christian ghetto. He's already broken off all his relationship with his non-Christians, friends. We ought to start with him the moment he becomes a Christian. Yes, we help him to begin to grow, but we also help him to begin to share his testimony with someone else. For example, I had a friend, one day goes in to get his hair cut, and there's a lady barber, and so he begins to witness to her. And over a period of time, she becomes a Christian. One day he goes in to get his hair cut, and he begins to talk to her, and he said, she had an 8-year-old daughter. She was divorced. This man had an 8-year-old daughter. He and his wife said, good Walt Disney movie. We're going to take our little daughter. Would you like for y'all to go with us? She said, I wish I could go, but I can't. But you could sure take my daughter. I wish I could do more things like that with her. So the little girl becomes friends, and it's not long till the little 8-year-old becomes a Christian. One day he goes in, and lady says, my sister's coming from Chicago. I wish I could take off the week and spend with her, but I got to work. So the guy calls his wife to see if they can have him over for dinner. So they sit around the table. They witness to this barber's sister, and she becomes a Christian. The last time I talked to my friends, 17 people had become Christians as a result of that lady barber. Because you see, every time a person becomes a Christian, it opens up a whole new world for evangelism. Because usually they have a mother, father, brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts, people they know at work, people they go to school with. And so if a person becomes a Christian, we ought immediately to begin to help him. Now that you've accepted the Lord, tell me about your family. Are your mom and dad still living? Yes. Are they Christian? Well, mom is, but dad isn't. All right, what's your dad's name? And let's begin to pray for him. And you begin to help him to know how to tell his dad what had happened to him. What about your brother? Well, I got a 16-year-old brother. He's running the wrong crowd. Okay, how can you share with your brother what's happened to you? And we begin to get them witnessing early. I remember a young guy, I happened to be teaching a college Sunday school class, and he came, and I got to know him, and he became a Christian. And one day he comes to me, and he says, you know, I'm living in a dorm. We tried to help him to grow, and he witnessed to someone, and he led him to the Lord. And he came in one Sunday, and he said, you know, now this guy's a very young Christian. He said, I led my mother to the Lord yesterday over the phone. And he comes in one day and said, you know, this guy I led to the Lord, I'm meeting with him, I've been training him. He led somebody else to the Lord this week. And so we began to do that. See, it's a matter when God works in your life, He wants to do the same thing in other people's lives. And so when you begin to do this, and right now, while you're in college, you'll never have a greater opportunity in any time in your life to learn to witness than you have right now. Because there are people all around you, not very many places, God put so many young men and women on so few acres, and there are no basically cultural barriers. You speak the same language, and there are people all around you. And by the way, I would say this to you. If you're on a college campus, if at all possible, live in the dorms. Live in university housing. You will double your ministry just by living in the dorms. And I see people, you know, and they don't emphasize that a lot of times. If you will live in the dorms when it comes time to eat, you can go eat with people. You don't have to, and people say, well, you can live cheaper sometime off campus. And sometimes, some of you will have to live off campus. But then it takes time to go shop, or it takes time to go eat. And I know how guys live like a bunch of badgers, you know. And then it comes time to eat. Well, you call in a pizza. So it may not be all that much more expensive. But I know students at the University of Oklahoma. Here's one girl, she wanted to live in the dorms. It was going to cost more. She prayed like crazy. Oh, God, I want to live in the dorms. She talked to her parents about it. She was willing to work some so she could live in a dorm so she could have a greater ministry. You want to be around people. Now is the time for you to get your walk with God established. And I want to challenge you. While you're in school, do not make your studies your number one priority. Now that's not what mom and dad told you when you left home. Okay? Now I'm not saying neglect your studies at all. And I'm not saying by that if you study 7 hours, you got to pray 8 hours. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying your number one priority all your life should be your relationship to God. I know some of you look forward to getting married. If you get married tonight, you know what your number one priority is the next morning? Walk with God. And so set that as your focus. I am going to make that my number one priority. I will study hard, but prior in my thinking is going to be my relationship with God. And right now is the time for you to begin every day to have a quiet time. You know, I try not to ever let a day go by that I don't spend some time in the Word. Ever. Now, sometimes I may have an early morning meeting. I've come in at time, maybe it's 1:30 in the morning, and I didn't have the time with the Lord I needed. And Satan says, oh, you won't get anything out of it. Only reason you're doing it, you're just a legalist. Well, let me tell you, legalism and discipline are vastly different. Legalism is trying to earn favor with God. You don't have to earn favor with God. That's what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You have favor with God because of Jesus Christ. Discipline is doing what you ought to do because you ought to do it. I don't do that because God's going to zap me if I don't. I do it because I want to have fellowship with Him. And one of the first verses you ought to memorize is 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants your fellowship. And Satan's a liar. He says you won't get anything out of it. Some of the best time I've ever had with the Lord in my life has been when I was too tired to meet with God. And so you meet with Him. It's a priority. And you're going to have to fight for your quiet time all your life. And now's the time to get it established. And find some time every day to meet with the Lord. Preferably the first thing in the morning. If that doesn't work, maybe you've got an hour between class and you can go spend time with the Lord. And by the way, it's legitimate to spend time with the Lord more than once a day. And now's the time for you to begin to memorize verses and get them in your heart. I've often said, and I'll say it again, if you could take $1 million and lay it right here and say you could have it, if we could just blot out of your mind just the verses you memorized while you're in college, I promise you I would not touch it. And so now's the time. You memorize verses and you begin to get them in your heart and in your life. See, let me ask you, son, how old are you? You're 20. Well, see, I'm 74. So there are 54 years difference in our age. Now, if he and I decide to memorize the same verse today, what difference do you see? What difference do you see? That's exactly right. He has 54 more years, if he lives as old as I am, to use that verse. Now, there's one other thing. It'd be easier for him. I promise you that's true. Right, Steve? I want to challenge you. You know, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When the evil days come not, now the years draw nigh, when you say, I'll have no pleasure in them. Right now is a time for you to decide the kind of person you want to be and get down to business now, learning all you can, becoming all you can before the Lord. Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. But know thou that for this, God will bring you into judgment. And Lamentation 3:27 said, it is good that you bear the yoke in the youth. Now is a time for you to set your heart to walk with the Lord. You know, I look back on the college days, I don't have regrets. I can tell you story after story of things that God did and learning how to witness. And at times when I felt like I was an absolute failure. I remember one time a girl, we were at the University of Houston, and a girl said, Max, would you go over and witness to this Jewish boy I've met in class? And so we went over there that day, and we were knocking on his door, and he came in down the end of the hall, and he was coming in off the athletic field. And we were knocking on his door, and he said, just a minute. And he came up, and he said, what do you want? Well, we just said, we're a couple of students from A&M, and we met a friend of yours, and she's a Christian, we're Christian, and we just wanted to come share with you about Jesus and how you might come to know Him. And he said, well, I don't have time. He said, I've got to get a shower. I've got to go somewhere. And I said, well, could we? He said, well, if you'll hurry. So we just quickly gave our testimony. We left walking down the hall. I thought, you know, I said to my roommate, as far as I can tell, we did absolutely no good. He did not seem interested at all, but one thing, we tried, and it's always right to try. A number of years later, a girl came to me, and we were in seminary together, and she said, Max, were you at First Baptist Church of Dallas tonight? I was a member there, and I said, no, I happen to be at another church. She said, well, there's a Jewish evangelist that Dr. W.A. Criswell had to come speak. He told a story about how he came a Christian. He said one night, one afternoon, he came in and two Aggies were knocking on his door. And they wanted to talk to him. He said, I wasn't even nice to them. He said, I went on and got my shower, but he said, you know, that bothered me. I don't know why it did, but it kept bothering me. And he thought, why would two strangers come talk to me? They didn't even know me. And he said, they seemed to think it was really important. And it kept bothering him. And it kept bothering him. And he went to one of his friends that he knew was a Christian and told him what had happened. Said, could you tell me more about what those guys were trying to tell me? And he became a Christian. And now he goes all over the country speaking. And sometimes you may feel like you are an absolute failure. One time I went home one summer, and this was before I ever heard about the Navigators. But I was in church the summer after my first year in college, and I look up there, and I see a kid in the choir at First Baptist Church where I went. And there are adults and one high school student. And I think, well, he's probably got some kind of interest in God. And so I went up to him after church. I said, you have an interest in God? That's maybe not the best question, but I didn't know what to say. And he did. And I said, well, could we go out to Dairy Queen tonight after church and just talk? And he was really interested. So somebody had told me, well, he was at A&M and he had learned it at Movie Bible Institute. You could write verses on cards and memorize them. So I'd start doing that. So I began to meet with him. And I'd share with him about how to memorize verses and things. And I'd want to take him to witness and things. I wanted to train him how to witness. So we were going out to Glorieta, New Mexico for a student conference. And I said, why don't we just leave a week early or day early? And we'll go out there. And then we'll just go into Santa Fe one day. And we'll find a park and where there are young people. And we'll just talk to them about the Lord. So we did that, and we're walking back to our car, and I just happened to glance through the window of a hotel, and there's a man there I knew. He's from Littlefield, Texas, and there aren't that many people from Littlefield, and you can recognize him anywhere. So I went in, and I said to him, sir, aren't you from Littlefield? And he said, yes, I am. I said, well, I thought so. I'd seen you around town, seen you other times, and I said, oh, are you over here on vacation? And he said, yes. And he said, what are you doing here? Now, by the way, I learned this from Paul Little in his book on how to give away your faith. Don't give technical answers. Give descriptive answers. And I could have said, well, I'm here for a conference. But I said, well, sir, what I'm doing today, my friend and I have been out talking to some young people about the Lord. I said, by the way, have you ever become a Christian? And he said, my wife's a good church member. And I thought that was a rather strange answer. I said, well, what about you? And he said, you'd be surprised the money I give to First Baptist Church. And I didn't know if he was a deacon and just playing with me or what the deal was. But I had a sneaking suspicion he didn't know the Lord. And I didn't know what to do. So one thing you learn in life when you don't know what to do, just pray. So I just silently prayed and said, Lord, what do I do? And I had a Billy Graham tract. And so the guy said, as I was talking to him, he said, well, why don't you tell it to that guy over behind the desk? He needs it a whole lot worse than I do. And they just laughed, and I felt kind of stupid. So I just prayed, and I picked out the Billy Graham tract, and I handed it to him, and I said, sir, you may not appreciate what I'm trying to tell you, but someday you'd have given anything in the world if you'd have listened. And I gave him the Billy Graham tract, thanked him, turned around, walked out. And as I walked down the street, I look back, and he's standing there, and he's just shredding that Billy Graham tract and just laughing, and that boy's just laughing. And so I went home Christmas, and one Saturday afternoon, I dropped by the pastor's study, and he said, oh, I'm glad you're in town. You going to be in town tomorrow? I said, yeah. And he said, you know what's happening at our church? And I said, no. He said, you remember the man you talked to in Santa Fe, New Mexico last summer? And I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, well, tonight he's going to be baptized. And his wife said they've both been saved. He said, I used to try to go to his house and I'd knock on the door and he'd come to the door and he'd see his preacher. And he said, I don't want to talk to any preacher, and just wave me off. But he said, I thought I ought to try one more time. I went and knocked on his door. He came to the door and he said, oh, preacher, come in. I want to talk to you. He said, you know that old tall, skinny kid, you know, Wayne's boy? Said, he tried to talk to me in Santa Fe, and I wasn't interested. But he never could forget it, and it bothered him. And many times God is going to use what you say, and you do what you can. You don't always get to give the whole gospel every time. But fly your flag, and on the campus where you are, let people know where you stand. And you begin to witness. You begin to follow the Lord. You do everything you know, because now you're laying the foundation. Make decisions now for what you wish you'd have done 10 years from now. And now's the time to get your walk with God established. So let's pray together. Take just a moment and pray. How's your walk with God? Are you spending time with Him every day? Are you getting into the Word? Are you beginning to memorize verses? Pay the price now, because it'll pay off for the rest of your lives. Take just a moment and pray. Father, I thank You for everyone that's here. I thank You the fantastic potential that's right in this room. And if these university students will set their heart to walk with You, and now while they're in college getting all the help they can, learning to witness, learning to spend time with You, learning how to disciple others, Father, I know that You'll use that for the rest of their lives. And Lord, I pray that tonight You'll give us rest, that we can rise in the morning to meet with You and rise in the morning to learn all that You have for us. Father, don't let us miss anything that You might want to say to any one of us. And so, God, we thank You. Thank You for Your grace of bringing us to know You. And perhaps there's someone here tonight that doesn't know You. Lord, I pray that tonight, before they lay their head on a pillow, they just say, Jesus, if You've never come in, I want to turn my life over to You. And Father, I pray they'll do that. So take all of our lives, Lord, and do in our lives what You want to this weekend to help prepare us for what You have ahead. Because we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.